नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द भगवद गीता चैप्टर 14। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर and we are reading today text number 19. So you can follow after me. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodigachati. नान्यं गुणेभ्य कर्तारं ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन वन प्रॉपरली सीज दैट इन ऑल एक्टिविटीज नो अदर परफॉर्मर इज एट वर्क देन दीज मोड्स ऑफ नेचर एंड ही नोज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हु इज ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू ऑल दीज मोड्स ही अटेन्स माई स्पिरिचुअल नेचर। Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly by learning from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless being in the grip of these modes, but when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body, conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the 7th chapter that one who has surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all of you for the evening discussion on the Gita. We are continuing with our discussion on the 14th chapter, which is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. So for the past several days, we have been seeing how these modes of material nature are influencing each and every living entity. How we are, all of us, are under the grip and control of these three modes. And what are the results of each mode? What are the characteristics of each mode? What are the how each mode influences us? All these things Krishna has been describing in these past verses till yesterday, till verse number 18. And now he is concluding this section, and in the last section he is going to describe how one can get free from the influence of these moods. So, in the beginning part of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how it is extremely essential, it is mandatory to have a spiritual master who can help us get out of these moods. It's like a person drowning in the ocean, and if he wants to get out, the person who can help him must be free, must not be a drowning man. A drowning man cannot help another drowning man to get free from the ocean. Right? He has to be outside the ocean. Maybe he is on a helicopter who can pull him out. Something like that. So similarly, if any one of us wants to get free from the influence of these modes, we need to take shelter of a person who is beyond the influence of these modes. A person who is similarly like us, under the influence, he cannot help us in any way. At best, he can show us the way to someone who can free us from the moods. So the spiritual master has to be beyond the influence of the moods. And it is essential, it is necessary for anyone to surrender oneself to the spiritual master. So that is the initial part of the purport where Prabhupada is explaining the need for one to take shelter of a spiritual master. So in this verse, Krishna is highlighting the two qualifications, the eligibility criteria for one to enter into the spiritual world. Madbhavam sodhi gachati, the last line says. Who can understand my nature? Who can attain my spiritual nature? So that's what Krishna is explaining here. And he states 2 points. He says, Nanyam gunebhya kartar, yada drashta anupashyati. One who sees that these material modes of nature are the actual doers and no one else. One who can see this, that material modes of nature are the ones who are acting. Everything is being conducted under the modes of nature. One who can see this, and one who can also see that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the influence of these modes. One who can see these 2 things, he is qualified to attain the spiritual world. He is qualified to attain Krishna's spiritual nature. So these are the 2 important conditions one needs to understand if we also want to get free from the influence of the modes of nature. So let us examine the first point where Krishna is saying that modes are at work. No one else but the modes of nature are in action. Whatever we see, whatever activities are performed in this world, everything and everyone is acting under the influence of these modes of nature. No one is independent. It may appear that everyone is independent and everyone is acting according to his own desire and his own choice, but ultimately everyone is under the influence of these modes. So in the 3rd chapter, Krishna makes a very interesting point. He says, similar kind of point he makes. He says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. A person who is under the influence of the 3 modes is bewildered, and he, under the influence of the false ego, he thinks that I am the doer of activities. I am the one who is acting and doing things, and accomplishing things, so many things in this world. But under the influence of the false ego, he doesn't understand that actually these modes are actually working. Therefore, he is known as Vimudhatma, a bewildered soul, a foolish person. Because he is not able to perceive the action and the influence of the modes on him. So now one may wonder, if everything is done by the modes, then why should I suffer? Why should I be held responsible for any good or bad activities? I can do any damn thing, and I can justify my action by saying, oh, by the way, it was all done by the modes. How can you hold me responsible? Anyway, I acted under the mode of ignorance or mode of passion. Therefore, I murdered him, or I did this crime, or I did this robbery. It was ultimately under the modes. And Krishna is also saying that modes are ultimately working everywhere. So why hold anyone responsible for any bad activity? So therefore, we need to understand who exactly is the doer of any activity. How many factors are involved in accomplishing an activity? So Krishna explains that there are three levels of doers. We are the first level of doer. In the sense, we do something because we desire to do an activity. For example, say if I want to travel from Bombay to Pune, I desire to travel on so and so particular date, that I would like to go to Pune. So in the sense, I am the doer. I am the one who is responsible for traveling from one place to another place. Now, to accomplish that travel, what do I do? I have various means of transport. I may choose to travel by train, I may take a bus, or I may book my own private vehicle. Right? And there are multiple routes also. If I go by flight, then I have a different route. If I go by train, I have a different route. If I plan to go by road, then there is a different route. So depending on my desire, all other things depend. But I cannot travel independently. Just because I have desired doesn't mean I am independent or I am fully capable of traveling from one point to another on myself. I need help from other sources. I need to take shelter of the transport system. I need a vehicle. I need a good road system, good proper roads. All these things are also required. Right? So people who are maintaining all these things, they are also the doers in one sense. Right? And finally, there is a third level of doer. Say, in this case, the government, for example. The government has to allow me to roam freely in this country or in this state. If I have done some criminal activity and I am convicted of some case, some criminal crime, then I cannot move around freely. I am restricted. I cannot move anywhere, anytime. Only according to the laws I can move. So the government is the ultimate sanctioner who can fulfill my desire based on my choice of destination and the facilities that are offered to me. So all three are doers. All three are responsible for accomplishing my travel from one place to another. Simply because I am desiring to go from Bombay to Pune doesn't mean I can go. Even if I desire to go and even if there are good facilities, there is good road system or good railway system, even if both these conditions are met, still if the government imposes some restriction on my travel, I cannot go. श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की जय, श्री श्री गोपाल जी की, श्री गौर निताय की जय. सो ऑल थ्री कंडीशंस हैव टू बी फुलफिल्ड इन ऑर्डर टू फुलफिल माय डिजायर. लेट अस कंसीडर वन मोर एग्जांपल टू गेट दिस पॉइंट क्लियर. से फॉर एग्जांपल देयर इज अ सिटीजन ऑफ इंडिया एंड he did some crime, for example. He did some murder or some criminal activity. And the court convicts him. Okay, 10 years of rigorous imprisonment. So who decides this? Who is the doer? Who is responsible for the punishment of the criminal? One can say that the person who committed the crime, he is responsible for the punishment. He is responsible for the suffering he has to undergo in those 10 years of imprisonment. Right? But who ultimately sanctioned it? The High Court judge or the Supreme Court judge. Only when he says that this person has to undergo so much of imprisonment, only then he will be imprisoned. And if the judge releases him, he is free to go, even though he has done the crime. So the judge is the ultimate sanctioner. And then this sanction or this order of the judge is fulfilled through the medium of the police department. Right? Judge gives the orders, the police comes into action, and then the criminal is put into the prison house where he undergoes the sentence or the punishment. So all three are responsible. All three are the doers. The criminal is a doer by committing that crime. He is ultimately responsible. The police department is a doer by implementing the order of the judge. And the judge is the ultimate sanctioner, ultimate doer, because he has sanctioned it. He has given that decision. He has taken the decision of punishing the criminal. Similarly, this material world is compared to a prison house. And we are all like those criminals who have done something wrong, some crime or some mistake. And we have been sent into this world. So we are the doers. In the sense, we have to undergo the punishment. We are responsible for the wrong thing that we have done in the past, and therefore we are undergoing these threefold miseries: birth, old age, disease, and death. We are undergoing the punishment. We are suffering. So we cannot blame anyone else because I am suffering now. So I am the doer in that sense. But how this suffering is being implemented on us, how these punishments are imposed on us, through the material nature. Material nature in the form of so many distress, so many sufferings, is tormenting us, is torturing us, and giving us different kinds of miseries. And then we are suffering. So when Krishna is here saying, Nanyam Gunebhya Kartaram Yada Drashtanu Pashyati, he is indicating the material nature, the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are acting on the living entity. He is not at all independent to free himself from the punishment. Just like the criminal, he cannot free himself from the police action. Once he is under the police control, he has no freedom at all to get free. He is completely under their grip. Even if he desires now, simply by desiring, he cannot go. Right? So if the criminal wants to get out of the jail, what he has to do? He has to behave nicely, and then he has to attract the authorities, the police authorities, who can then pass on a favorable judgment for his release. Right? And then when the High Court judge sanctions his release, then he will be freed. Similarly, if we want to get free from the influence of these material modes, then we have to act in such a way that we can attract the attention of that person who is controlling these modes. Right? The judge is controlling the police department. Similarly, there is a department or there is a person who is controlling these modes of nature. And if he can attract his attention, then and if he sanctions it, then we are out of the influence of the modes. That's what Krishna is going to speak in the future verse. So this is the main point where we have to understand how the material modes of nature are doing all the activities. All our misery and all our enjoyment, so-called enjoyment, whatever we are getting is provided to us by the action of these modes. We are simply a helpless observer. And we have no choice what good or bad activity, what good or bad situations are going to come upon us. Everything is destined from this point of view. Whatever enjoyment we are going to get and whatever suffering we are going to get is fixed. What is not fixed is our desire. If we want to desire to get out, that is not fixed. That is in our hands. And we can definitely desire to get free from these modes and act in such a way that these modes will stop influencing us. So, this is the first point that Krishna is addressing. To get out, to attain the spiritual nature, we need to understand that the modes are working and no one else. So, the next point that Krishna is saying, the next criteria that we need to fulfill to attain the spiritual world is understanding that Krishna is above the modes. Gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. One who understands that the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes. Transcendental means one who is above, beyond the influence of these modes. One who understands this, he is qualified to attain the spiritual world. So how Krishna is above the modes? Everything about Krishna is absolute. His form, his name, his activities, his paraphernalia, his dham, everything about him is absolute. Which means everything about him is beyond the influence of the modes. Just like the judge, for example, or the government, any government authority. The judge is not under the influence of the police department. He is the controller of the police. He is controlling how the police department will punish a certain set of criminals, how the police department will deal with another set of criminals. The judge will decide everything. The police department won't act against him because the judge is a controller. Based on his decision, the police will act. Similarly, this material nature, the laws of material nature are subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is controlling all the activities and the laws of material nature. So how can these laws influence him? It cannot. He is controlling them. He decides how these laws will act on a particular individual. He decides how a particular individual has to be punished, to what degree, to what extent. Everything depends upon his sanction. And the material nature simply acts based on the sanction. So we need to understand this fact. So whenever Krishna comes into this world as an incarnation, he continues to remain beyond the influence of the modes. Even when he comes into this world and takes a form like one of us. So we should never misunderstand that when he takes an incarnation or when he appears in this world, he is like us. Oh, he also grows old. He is also diseased. He is also acting like this. he is also influenced by lust, anger, greed. It never happens. We are the ones who is influenced by lust, anger, greed, and all these qualities. Anger, passion. So when we observe Krishna's activities, it may appear that he is behaving just like me. He also married so many wives. He is also fighting wars. He is also killing so many people. He is also stealing. And so many other activities he is doing. So what is the big difference between me and him? Maybe a little extraordinary at best. So we need to understand that it is not just extraordinary. It is the most extraordinary. His activities are supra-mundane, beyond the mundane. We call it transcendental or divine. Krishna says in the Gita, in the 4th chapter, Janma karma cha me divyam. My janma and my karma are divyam. Transcendental or divine. Evam yo veti tattvataha. One who understands this fact, tattvataha. Tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti. Once he leaves this body, no punarjanma. No repeated cycle of birth and death for him. But mameti. He comes to me. He attains my spiritual nature, just as he's saying here. Madbhavam sodhi gachati. Mameti. He doesn't continue to revolve in the cycle of birth and death. Simply by understanding that Krishna's activities and birth are transcendental, divine. So anything about Krishna is transcendental. His killing of so many demons when he was a small child, his activities in different places like Mathura and Dwarka, all these activities, externally everything appears like ordinary. He also used to get up early in the morning, perform his morning duties, and he had so many children and grandchildren, big families, just like ordinary, just like us, just like one among us. So we need to understand that all these activities, although appearing ordinary, it's not at all ordinary. Everything about him is divine and transcendental. His names, his holy names, we chant his holy names. Why don't we chant anyone else's holy names? Simply by chanting his holy name, we can get freed from unlimited sinful reactions. Why? Because, again, his name is absolute. His name is non-different from him. So when we are chanting his holy names, it's as good as directly associating with him. So his name is also transcendental. Otherwise, what is the point in chanting his name? We can chant someone else's name also. So many other names are there. His dham, his the place where he appears and enacts various kinds of activities. Like, for example, we have Vrindavan Dham, or we have Dwarka, we have so many other spiritual places connected to various pastimes of the Lord. These dhams are also not ordinary. Just like, for example, say, in every country we have embassies of different countries. If you go to New Delhi, we will find their US embassy, we will find Russian embassy, French embassy, where the government officials of each nation stay there and conduct the activities on behalf of their parent nation. So if you go to US embassy, you find all Americans there and all American laws working inside, although it's a part of India. If you want any connection with US, or if you want to go to US or do with anything about US, then you have to approach this US embassy and get your things done. You can't go to any other place. Right? So anything, travel or visa or whatever we need to do in US or any other political activity with the Americans, we need to approach the people in the US embassy and then get our things done. So although that place is in the land of India, it is as good as the US, the United States. Similarly, a dham is like an embassy of the spiritual world, directly imported from the spiritual world. So although it may appear like an ordinary place within a tract of land like India or any other place, it is as good as the spiritual world. Everything about it is also divine and transcendental. So if you want to establish a solid connection with the spiritual world, we need to regularly visit such places and understand the divine nature of such place. It is said when a person approaches such places, such holy places, our original spiritual nature can be reawakened simply by visiting and hearing about the glories of that place. His dham. That's why it is called dham and not a tourist spot. So everything about Krishna is transcendental. So we need to understand how Krishna is above the influence of the modes. His dham, his name, his activities, his paraphernalia, none of these come under the influence of the three modes. So once we understand this and the first point, how the modes of material nature are working, then we are qualified to attain to the spiritual world. Another point which is not addressed by Krishna here, but a related point, just as Krishna is above the modes, even his pure devotees who have taken complete shelter of him, who are completely surrendered to his will, they are also beyond the influence of the modes. So externally, a devotee of the Lord may appear like ordinary person. He is also doing ordinary activities, getting up in the morning, performing his morning duties, going to work, earning money, and doing so many things. So how is he different from an ordinary person who is also doing similar kind of activities? But because a devotee is completely surrendered to the will of the Lord and he has taken complete shelter of the Lord, he is also beyond the influence of the modes. So there are many, many examples where devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord, they have been successful in crossing over the influence of the modes. We have the example of this nice story in the Srimad Bhagavatam where King Ambarish, he was once approached by the great mystic called Durvas Muni. He came and Ambarish was undergoing a fasting period. And it was the time was about to break the fast. And at this time, this great mystic came there and he demanded some food. So somehow, Ambarish had to break his fast before this guest could take his bath and come again for honoring his meal. So he took a glass of water and broke his fast. And when Durvas Muni learned this fact, he became so furious. He became so angry that he tried to kill Ambarish by creating a demon out of his hair. So in this case, we see, although Durvas Muni was such a great mystic, he had so many mystic powers, but because he had not taken shelter of the Lord, he came under the influence of the three modes. He came under the influence of anger, which is a product of the mode of ignorance. So, a devotee, Ambarish on the other hand, he was cool. He was not at all disturbed. He remained peaceful. And eventually, just because he had taken shelter of the Lord, he was able to overcome that great calamity. The Lord himself came in the form of the Sudarshan Chakra. And he destroyed the demon. And he was about to kill Durvas Muni also. But because ultimately Durvas Muni took shelter of Ambarish, he was protected. The point here is, unless we take shelter of the Lord, we cannot overcome the influence of the moods. And otherwise, on the other hand, anyone, however great a mystic he may be, however great a scholar he may be, however great a yogi he may be, he cannot overcome the influence of the moods unless he takes shelter of the Lord. So Krishna, he says in the coming verse, that one who takes shelter of my devotional service, he crosses the influence of the modes. He goes beyond the influence of the modes. So if devotee is by taking shelter of Krishna's devotional service can cross over the modes, how can Krishna be under the influence of the modes? If I take shelter of someone and by taking shelter of that person I become free, how can that person be under the influence of the modes? So it is illogical to think that when Krishna comes into this world, he is also an ordinary person, or he is also influenced by so many negative qualities. It is not possible. There is a nice story that is explained in the scriptures where all the demigods wanted to test who is the supreme among all the gods. There are so many gods, 330 million demigods. So the demigods wanted to check who among us is the supreme. So what they did, they chose Bhrigumuni, the son of Lord Brahma. They told him, you go and test who is the supreme. So they knew Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva. They were the three principal deities, the three principal gods. And all other demigods are below them. So they had to test who among these three is the supreme. So Bhrigumuni first went to Lord Brahma to check his qualities. So when he went there, he purposely ignored him. Although Lord Brahma is his father and his superior, when Bhrigu went there, he intentionally did not pay any attention to him. Just ignored him. Otherwise, the general etiquette is you give your respects, you talk pleasingly. He did nothing of this. He just ignored him and went away. So when Brahma saw this, he became extremely angry. He was extremely furious. And he was about to curse Bhrigu. But somehow he controlled himself and refrained from cursing. So Bhrigu understood that he is coming under the influence of anger. So he is not the supreme. He then went to Lord Shiva. And when he went there, he abused him with words. Verbally abused him to test his nature. So Lord Shiva, when he heard these abuses, he became angry. And he was about to curse him, but somehow he refrained. So Bhrigu again understood. Even Lord Shiva is under the influence of the modes. He is not the supreme. Supreme means he has to be totally free of all negative qualities. Finally, he approached Lord Vishnu. And when he went to Lord Vishnu, in the case of Brahma, he just ignored him. For Lord Shiva, he abused him with words. With Vishnu, he physically assaulted him. Vishnu was lying on his bed and he approached him and kicked him on the chest. Bhrigu. Bhrigumuni approached him and kicked him on the chest. Instead of getting angry and cursing him, Lord Vishnu was very cool, very peaceful. And he apologized Bhrigu. Although Bhrigu offended him, Lord Vishnu is apologizing to him, saying, oh, my heart is so hard. You might have felt a great pain because you kicked me on my chest, on my hard-hearted heart. So Lord Vishnu was apologizing to him. And he took his feet and started massaging Bhrigu's feet. And to honor Bhrigu Muni is kicking him, Lord Vishnu bore that mark on his chest. And is known as Sri Vatsa. The mark on his chest is still known as Sri Vatsa. Just to remember that Bhrigu, his devotee, has kicked him. So seeing this, from all these three incidents, Bhrigu concluded that among all three principal deities, Lord Vishnu is the supreme. And then he came and informed all the demigods. The point here is, Lord Vishnu or Krishna cannot be under the influence of the moods. Krishna is above the influence of passion and ignorance, above the influence of lust, anger and greed. Therefore, he is God. God means one who is above the influence of all negative emotions and negative qualities. And his devotees are also like him. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet, they also can easily overcome the influence of the moods. In the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we have this wonderful example of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, because he was continuously chanting the holy names of the Lord, he could easily overcome all kinds of temptations. Once a prostitute approached him, trying to allure him. But because he had taken complete shelter of the Lord, he could easily resist that temptation. Even in Maharashtra, we have this famous saint of by the name Tukaram. Tukaram Maharaj was also a very popular saint. And during his time, many other so-called saints and philosophers became very envious of him. Because he was growing in popularity, many other people and wealthy people of his area were becoming envious of his growing popularity. So one such wealthy man, he tried to destroy his reputation by sending a prostitute to him. But Tukaram Maharaj, by his pure devotion, not only he didn't fall prey to that allurement, but he also converted that lady into a nice devotee. So that is the power of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Simply by taking shelter of Krishna and his devotional service, one can easily cross all kinds of temptations. One can easily cross the influence of all the three modes and and perfect one's life. We can also use all the three modes in devotional service. A person in the mode of goodness can nicely study the scriptures and use his knowledge in understanding the nature of the Lord. One who is in the mode of passion, we can use this passion in the service of the Lord. For example, we have this example of Arjun. He was fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he was getting angry. But he used his anger by fulfilling the desire of the Lord of killing all the enemy soldiers. So all these modes, we can use them in the service of the Lord. We just need to know the right technique of how to utilize our tendencies and our nature in proper devotional service. Therefore, we need a spiritual master. Just as Prabhupada is explaining in the beginning of this purport, we need a proper guide who can channelize and give directions how to use our nature in proper devotional service. Otherwise, if we act whimsically, it can backfire. We need proper guidance. So therefore, we need to take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is beyond the modes and who can give us proper directions to dovetail our nature in proper devotional service. So that is the message of this verse. To attain Krishna's spiritual nature, we need to understand that the modes are the ones, modes are the actual doers, or modes are in action all the time and influencing everyone. And how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is controlling these modes, is beyond the influence of the modes. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any question, we can take one or two, or we'll have Kirtan now. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.